to my soul. I love that. That to me is the whole hope of all of this. To have that kind of a relationship, that fellowship, or as Brother Glenn put it last Sunday night, companionship. Companionship with my God. Fellowship. This is from Webster's 1828 dictionary. Companionship. And the seventh definition was communion, intimate familiarity. Intimate, deep inside from the soul, the soul's familiarity with God. Communion. We often use that word communion when we're referring to our sacrament service because it's a time where we are witnessing to our God that we remember him, that we remember his son and the sacrifice that he made for me, that he could forgive me of my sins and offer me salvation. And we have that service where we cry out to him in prayer. And then we hear of what he does through one another. Testimonies. Communion. Intimate familiarity with God. And this seventh definition is used. He says it's, Noah Webster says it's a good definition for what's used in 1 John. And I want to read 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So John is wanting to witness through this book, 1 John, what he saw, what he looked upon, what he witnessed, what he handled, what he knew of Christ. Verse 2, For the life was manifested that we have seen it and bear witness and shew it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Talking about Christ. Christ said he was the life and the light. Eternal life. He's our way to eternal life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Let me finish that verse. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the theme of this sermon. Fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And that fellowship is that communion, that innermost familiarity, that familiarity our souls with God, that relationship, that communion, that companionship. Back to verse 3. John is declaring unto them Jesus Christ, so that they, hearers, us, might have that same fellowship, that relationship, that companionship with God as they do. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I think it's in the Book of Mormon, man is that he might have joy. That's the end result. That is the result of companionship, relationship with God. Verse 5, and then, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Yeah, I want to explore this further. I'm going back to 3 and 4 here. This joy. Yesterday, I had this awesome opportunity. I spent the whole day with my girls. And we'd never really spend a lot of time together like we did yesterday. Just, we went out to eat. We went to the gym. We went out to eat. We went to a movie together. We talked. We laughed. We went and applied for jobs and just spent time together, talking, listening, communicating, loving. It was so much fun for me. And when Glenn preached last Sunday night, God desires companionship with us. He desires to spend time with us. Just us and him. Kind of like it was just the girls and I yesterday. Just me and him. Him and me. You and him. Him and you. Communicating. Talking. Listening. Being together. Fellowship. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. This is one thing we should know in coming to know God. We need to learn about him. And this, he's declaring to us here that God is light. He is light. And in him is no darkness at all. None. He doesn't know darkness. You and I, we know darkness. We've sinned. And the darkness has resulted from our sin. Our thoughts sometimes are darkness. But God is light, and he desires to have a relationship with us and share with us that light, that life, as was said earlier. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, I just want to stop here. God wants from us honesty. He doesn't want us to tell him how much we praise him and worship him when it's not the truth. He wants to know that we hurt and that we don't understand. And that we're tired. And that we're cranky. And he wants to change all of that. When we talk to him, he wants to hear the truth. He wants us to praise him. But really, he wants us to be able to get to that point where we can praise him. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That first verse of the hymn we just read, 325. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have that hope that through a relationship, a fellowship with him, spending time with God, we can be cleansed of all sin. We can be that light that he's called us to be. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We lie. And the truth is not in us. Isn't that kind of, that's kind of difficult to our understanding to. First in verse 6 it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Of course, sin is what causes darkness. Then in verse 8 it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So really, this is teaching us our goal to have complete fellowship with God. And we've got to get there still. We have sin. We have darkness in our lives, in our thoughts, in our heart. But we have this great hope through the light of Christ that in a complete relationship with him, companionship, as our brother Glenn put it, fellowship, as the Word of God puts it, with him, that we can walk in the light with him. This fellowship gives us communion. It gives us companionship and intimate familiarity with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. It fills us with joy. It gives us companionship, communion, companionship, an intimate familiarity with each other when we walk in the light as God is in the light. I underlined and emboldened or made bold that word we, because that's why we're here with one another, to fellowship. You know, I think about how often in the world how often we want to find fellowship, companionship with people out there in the world who some are not walking in the light. And whereas we have this opportunity here in this body as brothers and sisters with all that same desire to walk in the light, to have companionship. How good it is to spend time with one another, talking about that desire to love God and to have a relationship with him, and what results from it, those testimonies, the discussion of Scripture. Some of you attend a Monday night class. That's good. That offers companionship on the Word of God. We have Wednesday and Sunday services that offer companionship. Those those testimonies that bring us together in the love of God. We have Friday night, Tiny Tots and Junior Choir for that fellowship. We have Young People's for that fellowship. We have United Workers for that fellowship. We have getting together as brothers and sisters at each other's house, where we have that opportunity for fellowship. To be able to walk in the light, we must confess our sins, and He is faithful to forgive our sins. That's the point in this sermon where we talk about repentance. We have to be honest with God about our sins. But truly honest. He sees them anyway. About what it is that enters in, that causes our heart to desire things that go against His commandments. We need to talk to Him about those things. Tell Him everything we did. Everything. Because He wants to cleanse us. And it says here that He is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And for us to walk in that light, to have fellowship with Him, we have to be cleansed. Why? Because that darkness, the darkness that's caused by the sins that we commit, it separates us from God. It separates that relationship. It causes a stumbling block. It causes so that we can't hear Him like we ought to when we're listening to Him. It causes us to be convinced and persuaded to do things that do other things that are against His will. Light. Took these pictures this morning. I don't know how to move that. Anyway, I'm not going to worry about it. So I took a picture this morning. One was light, beginning of sunrise. And then after the sun had risen somewhat, about an hour later. And you notice the bottom half of the picture. I'm not sure it's as clear up there, but there's darkness at the beginning of the sunrise at the bottom half of the picture. You can't identify things as much as after the sun had risen further. And then in the second picture, you start to identify. Here's a third picture, an hour and a half. You can see it a little bit more. You can identify the railing, trees. If you had really good eyes, you could see a pond over there beyond the fence. But as I was taking these compare and contrast pictures, Brother Ken Vick puts out scriptures every day, and this scripture came as a notice on Facebook. So I went to the scripture, and it says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is evil, thy whole body is full of light." So what's that single talking about? Well, God is light. So when our eye is single to God, to that relationship with God, when it's focused in, Brother Mark preached a sermon not too long ago. He takes pictures with cameras, and he talked about how important focus is in taking pictures. When our focus is on God, in that relationship with him, that relationship of father and son, father and daughter, doing what he said to do, says thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. So when our focus comes off of God and his goal, his plan, his will for our life, when it goes off of that and onto ourselves and our own desires, then our body is filled with darkness. We can't see things as they really are. We can't see the truth. So 3 weeks ago, I gave a homework assignment. And the homework assignment was, each morning, before you start the rest of the day, read Christ's words, starting with Matthew 5, which was the Sermon on the Mount. You can also read it in third book of Nephi. It's also in Luke, a shortened version of it. For 5 minutes. And then pray for 5 minutes. And then listen to the Holy Spirit for 5 minutes. And then, sometime during the week, to fast a meal and spend 2 hours reading, praying, and listening. So I want to talk a little bit about that assignment, about reading. Because these things are exercises, short exercises. I do believe God led me to give this homework assignment, and the reason is it's short exercises to that communication that we need with God. Starting every morning, communicating with God. And the first part, reading Christ's words. In 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 14, verse 4, this whole chapter 13 and 14 is about this relationship that we have with God. We start out believing his words. And so we do what he says to do. We witness that we believe him, that we are willing to keep his commandments, do what he says to do, by going into the waters of baptism. And someone who has authority from him to perform this baptism baptizes us. And then we come out of the water and hands are laid on us. And God baptizes us with his Holy Spirit. That gift he gives us to help us do what we said we're going to do. What he commanded us to do. So that starts out this relationship with God. And then Nephi, I think this is Nephi talking here. If it might be Jacob, but I'm not sure who it is that's preaching this part. But what he says is, he talks about the importance in this relationship of feasting on Christ's words. So he said, wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. So this is the importance of this exercise of reading what Christ said. Because it's what we're supposed to do. What the things that we'll do that will bring us joy. The things that he wants us to do in this relationship, this companionship, this fellowship. Read with a desire to learn. This morning, in our Spanish Sunday school class, we read this We read this scripture about the importance of becoming as a little child. And we talked about that, how a little child compared it to a baby that's still nursing, and how much trust that baby has in its mother. That baby trusts its mother for everything it needs. And then our sister Chepa talked about how a child, when you chastise it, a little child, so quickly after they've been chastised, they're running back into your arms again. And I thought about that and how that really signifies trust that that little child has. That after they've been spanked or talked to about their bad behavior, they trust their mom, their dad so much that they know what they told them was right. And they rush back into their arms. And when we go through trials and struggles and where we don't understand, we ought to do the same. We ought to trust like that little child and go running to God. Our brother Dan mentioned that after we talked about that we read a scripture about how Christ always was trying to gather his people as a hen gathereth its chickens. And he talked about how he desires that. He desires to have a people. He desires you. He desires me. He desires that companionship. And he says how oft he would. And he talks about how quickly we are to turn the other way. And I think that's our nature. We rush to things that we believe are answers when his answer is there in his word. Therefore, we should come to him with that same desire to be his people and to learn what he wants us to learn to be his people. Feast upon his words. Prayer. Be honest with God when you pray. Pray with real intent. I think I have that scripture here, yeah. Moroni chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore it is counted on unto him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore he is counted evil before God. And likewise also, is it counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart? So praying, oh, I praise you, God, I worship you, and yet my heart is not in it. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. I think that's another reason that God gave me this assignment. I know it was for me, because I found myself some mornings doing that, praying and just saying the words. My heart was not in it. And God, and I recognized it. Darren, this is just 5 minutes. Go back and start over. Be honest with God. Ask what you want to know. What do you want to know? Why? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? God, I don't understand these scriptures. What do you mean by this? God, what is your will? What do you want from me? Why am I faced with this situation? This is hard. But I want to do your will. Only say that if you're being honest. Be bold. And I wanted to look up an example of this, but there have been people, you know, through history that God was going to do something, and his servants said, wait, wait, wait. Just see, you know, I mean, one example of this is, it's not a good example, I don't think. But I wish I'd found it. But there have been times throughout history where God has repented of what he was going to do. He decides differently based on his servants that have cried out to him for mercy. And he's held back. Well, Nineveh is a good example. I don't know how much... my mind is escaping me. Who was it that was in the mouth of the belly? Jonah, thank you. I'm not sure how much Jonah wanted the people to repent, but God repented. Jonah seemed kind of sad after that happened. But God changed. He was going to destroy Nineveh. They repented. And so he repented of destroying them. But be bold in your prayers to him. You know, I think of Christ, who suffered the temptations of the flesh, and when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that this cup pass him by. But then he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. So, yes, be bold, but still ask for the will of God. Because the will of God is always good. But it might be what you pray for. I want to finish this sermon by reading the first hymn that we sang. On my way here, I was singing this hymn. Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord of hosts, Almighty One. Earth and firmament speak thy praise. Thy name is written in the sun. And just thinking of that picture of the sun this morning, watching it get brighter and brighter and lighter and lighter. Sing of his mighty love, for it is wonderful. Let his praise through all the earth resound. Honor and majesty now and forever be unto him alone, wherever man is found. Thou hast fashioned with thine own hand the earth below, the heavens above. Oh, how wonderful is thy power, and yet how tender is thy love. Sing of his mighty love, for it is wonderful. Let his praise through all the earth resound. Honor and majesty now and forever be unto him alone, wherever man is found. O thou infinite living God, upon us now thy spirit pour. We would worship thee, laud and praise thy holy name forevermore. Sing of his mighty love, for it is wonderful. Let his praise through all the earth resound. Honor and majesty now and forever be unto him alone, wherever man is found. May you have fellowship, and may I have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God bless you all today and throughout the week. And remember, when you see that bright sun out there, that God is light, and fellowship with him is good.